The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Hi, welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Today is Friday, June 19th, 2015, and we're live, 866-472-5788. I first want to just say, deep breath. I want to acknowledge the awful week we've had with the Charleston Church massacre. And I want to say the names of the people who lost their lives there. Sharonda Coleman Singleton, Reverend Clementa Pickney, Cynthia Hurd, Tywanza Sanders, Myra Thompson, Ethel Lee Lance, Reverend Daniel L. Simmons, Reverend DePayne Middleton Doctor, and Susie Jackson. There has been a fund established to help victims and the families of this really horrific act of terrorism and tragedy. It's the Mother Emanuel Hope Fund, care of City of Charleston, P.O. Box 304, Charleston, South Carolina, 29402. And of course, we're going to put a link to that and as well as the mailing address on our Twitter feed. So to shift gears, I have no fabulous segue. I'm just going to shift gears here and say that today's show is actually all about kick-ass events happening this summer all over the country. Now, I've been plugging these events relentlessly. So if you've been listening, you have heard of them. There's a polyamorous and non-monogamous relationship event, Amorous Revolt, the Kinky Camp, and Catalyst Con. And today I'm talking to the creators of these events. So if you're thinking of attending one of these events, this is a great opportunity to talk live to the people who've created them and ask all your questions. So if you feel like doing that, give us a call at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. You can also post questions on our Twitter feed at Sex Out Loud Radio, and we'll grab those and ask my guests. Let me tell you who's here, okay? Ruby B. Johnson received her Bachelor's of Social Work from Texas Women's University and her Master's of Social Work from the University of Texas at Arlington. Since 2003, Ruby's roles have included clinical practitioner, community and professional development educator, and graduate and undergraduate adjunct professor. In private practice, her areas of expertise are substance use disorders, sex addiction, intimacy and love addiction, multicultural families and couples, sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, polyamorous, non-monogamous partnerships and families, and kink and BDSM. Sean Chrisman is a practicing licensed professional counselor in Texas. He received his clinical training with a master's in counseling from Southern Methodist University, and he's currently working on his doctorate in human sexuality from Widener University. Sean works with individuals and couples on sexuality-related issues, including addressing intimacy, sexual identity, gender dysphoria, sexual dysfunctions, and other concerns. Sean also identifies as a kink-aware therapist and works with couples who enjoy diverse relationship structures, such as open or polyamorous relationships. And together, these are the two co-facilitators of this event I've been telling you about in Dallas, Texas, Affirming Polyamorous and Non-Monogamous Relationships. And I think in order to simply disrupt the relationship binary, they've brought a third person with them on the show. His name is Michael Salas, and I think he should introduce himself because I know nothing about him. So let me welcome Ruby, let me welcome Sean, and let me say, hey, Michael.
Hello. I'm Mike Salas. I'm a licensed professional counselor and chemical dependency counselor, and I specialize in issues relating to sexual dysfunction and sex addiction.
Fantastic. Okay, so that was a good disruption of you know, the two-person model there, guys. I mean, it's just you're right off the bat. You're breaking new ground. Okay, so tell me about this event. It's happening July 24th in Dallas, Texas, live, but you can also be anywhere because it's going to be a free webinar online. So my first question is, what is this event all about?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. I'll give you a quick background story about how Ruby and I met. Ruby and I met at a therapy social function a couple of months ago, and it was like this immediate connection. And we just talked and laughed and said, you know what, one of the things we came up with was a need. We're in a conservative area. You know, there's a need for an outlet for discussion, for clinical education for other licensed professionals, and for community support. We both engage clients who, you know, they're new to this idea. Either it is a revelation, a catharsis that maybe they've known for, you know, some time, or maybe it's just new. And coming up with some outlet for them to talk openly, to meet, to learn, and how to do that in Dallas, Texas.
That's fantastic. I mean, let's talk about Dallas, Texas, because I know that it's in the South and therefore a little more conservative than some other places. But I've been to Dallas, and there seems to be a really big community of people who are queer, people who are into leather and BDSM, and people who are poly. Is that your sense?
Well, absolutely. I mean, there are many groups that are here in the Dallas area, Dallas-Fort Worth. I'm going to mention DFW. And so there are many groups here within this area. However, still compared to the 3 million folks who are Dallas residents, still that percentage is small. And so like-minded individuals, people who have an understanding of polyamory, who have an understanding of BDSM and those struggles and those successes and those challenges, is still small comparatively. But I do agree that our community is very, very big. However, it's still fragmented in some senses. So knowing where the resources are, knowing how to find those resources, is still not very public. So hopefully with this symposium, we can offer a public presentation, a public voice, just an awareness that we're not going to live in the corners lurking anymore. We're out there and we're here to help you. And Michael has been providing sex therapy in this area for how long, would you say?
Last 4 years.
4 years. So I think that he would concur.
Yeah. Certain things that I do notice are with shame and local, some of the shame-based culture that might be around here, there are issues with people breaking silence, being more open, and maybe even connecting. And so I think conferences and education and information like this is helpful for people kind of breaking through that.
And what do you attribute some of the fragmentation that you talked about, Ruby, to? Why do you think some of these communities aren't more organized?
I think some of the reasons that, well, I should explain how I see the fragmentation presented. For example, I'm an African-American female, and the way I see some of the fragmentation is as a result of ethnicity, race. Some of other elements of the fragmentation can come with our, you know, our trans community, even in our gay male community. I mean, it's just a lot of within the larger group that will be considered alternative or sexual minority. By the way, I hate that word. Sexual minority, that's just me personally. I do see that there is some intergroup, no, intragroup separation that is present there. So is it like-minded people sticking together, people who look like me sticking together? Is it self-preservation? I want to stay with like people because I don't feel others will understand. That is a conversation to be had. So what do you see, Sean?
Yeah, and I would say, you know, clients that come into my office and people I interact with say, where do I even get information about this? Maybe I've heard about it through a website, or maybe I've heard, you know, just different ideas, and I want to explore. Where do I go to find that? And so trying to gather up, you know, there may be a meetup over here, or FetLife, or, you know, different avenues to gain information and to gain community, but trying to, you know, bring those together and bring visibility. Visibility is a big thing that I see, or lack of visibility in some of the communities.
And do you, I mean, do you agree with that also, Sean? What do you attribute some of the fragmentation?
That was Sean.
Oh, that was Sean.
Well, I,
Michael,
yeah,
Michael.
The piece that, what Ruby said did resonate with me. I know in the, you know, the LGBT community, there's not a lot of, the gay community, the lesbian community, the trans community, and they all kind of tend to be fairly separate, and the bisexual community tends to be fairly silent, and so there tends to be not a lot of coordination between the different communities, different segments of that. So I was just going to second that.
And who do you think will get something out of this event? Like, tell me the types of people you hope show up there.
Yeah, this is Sean. I would say the nice thing about this event is that it's going to have a, you know, a clinical track, and then it's going to have more of a community or education track. And so with the clinical track, what we hope to accomplish is bringing forth information to licensed professionals, to other counselors, therapists, social workers, and so that they are educated and competent in order to work with these populations, or honest enough to say, you know what, I need to refer out. So we want to bring some awareness and education to that population, but then also to bring it to the community, to bring more information, to bring up things such as how do we negotiate boundaries, what do we talk about, what are you know, different relationship structures, and how do we want to approach things like jealousy or communication, you know, those types of things.
Yeah, and also I think it's really important because I've been announcing it in various other community groups. A lot of people are very attracted to a different way of doing relationships. So educating those particular individuals who are novice, who are interested and want to explore, and recognizing that polyamory is just not about a whole lot of fucking. I mean, sex. Yeah. Oh, she said I can cuss.
Okay. No, I said she could curse.
And so it's just not about sex. It's also about a different way of simply breaking down and doing relationships differently that do not have these rigid rules attached to them, things that encourage you to explore and expand. And it's done in many different ways. Additionally, letting individuals know that There is an intersection between sexuality, relationships, and other lifestyles that go along with that, including kink and including BDSM. My goal and my intent, and I think I can speak for us as a unit, is that we want to demystify relationships that are non-monogamous and polyamorous. We don't want to be the other. We want to be part of the choice in the very, very beginning, if that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. And I think you're going about this in such a good way by doing it both for a clinic, you know, kind of a clinical track and then also a community track. And I think people are going to appreciate that you all have this breadth of experience, because I think there is so much crossover and intersection between kinky people and poly people, between queer people and poly people. And so to have a kind of team of people who have this kind of vast knowledge and aren't going to problematize these other things, which often other therapists do problematize, right? I think it's going to be eye-opening for the community.
Yes, and I do agree with you. And I do want to say that we hope to have an attorney present as part of our discussion to discuss some of the legalities. We're also welcoming individuals from, we are outreaching to educators within the community. We're blasting invites to the sociology, the social work, the psychology, the counseling departments. We're also blasting it out to CPS. We're just blasting it out to all communities, because this is, people do not probably realize how this is no longer on the fringe. It's becoming more and more, more and more frequent. So I think that's really, really important. And I do agree with you that the pathological aspects of it, or the pathology that people want to attach, is that, you know, mononormative, heteronormative philosophy of, you know, since this is something that is out of the box, out of the ordinary, this is going to be something that we need to fix, because this will make all problems better for you.
And Sean here, I'd second what Ruby has to say. We're also going to make it fun. We want to make this a fun environment and have people walk away going, yes, this is a really positive event.
Well, I think people are going to find community there, and just creating the space is important. And we're out of time. We have to break for commercial. I can't believe it. Okay, but listen, thanks to you guys for being on the show. Ruby is in private practice, and you can find all about that at vantagepointdallascounseling.com. Sean is in private practice, so if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and you're looking for a therapist, his website is Insights Therapy, and the word insights is plural. Hey, Michael, do you have a website?
I do, and it's the same as Ruby's, so you can make the same place.
Michael actually owns the practice.
Okay, so Michael can be at Vantage Point too. Okay, and remember everyone, this one-day symposium, Affirming Polyamorous and Non-Monogamous Relationships, is July 24th, Dallas, Texas. If you're not in Dallas, it's going to be broadcast as a live webinar. Follow them on Twitter at PolyDallas2015. Go to their website, PolyDallas2015.com. Coming up next, Chelsea Downs will join me, the founder of Amorous Revolt. So stay with us.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education Series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Get get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone. Remember, we're live and you can call and talk to me and my guests tonight if you'd like. 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. Also on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. So now joining me is Chelsea Downs. Chelsea was born and raised in New York City. She is biracial, Black, and Jewish, a chess player, sports and pop culture junkie who graduated from Hunter College High School and received a full scholarship to Colby College. She has a six-year tenure with Viacom, including positions within MTV, Comedy Central, and Nickelodeon, and is a co-founder of the New York Toy Collective, the largest and fastest-growing adult toy manufacturing company on the East Coast. And Chelsea is also the producer of Amorous Revolt, which is a brand new queer camping event happening from July 31st to August 2nd. Welcome, Chelsea.
Thanks.
I didn't actually ask you your pronoun preference, or did I by email?
Yeah, like she, her.
Okay, great.
They is cool too.
Thanks. Because as I was saying it, I was like, I hope I got that right. Okay.
Yeah, we're cool.
So tell me how Amorous Revolt came about.
Sure. Well, I've been just like personally, I've been pretty like I'm into the kink scene. I'm into camping. I'm into like sexy alternative style vacations. And I also really like play parties. And I've been to sort of kink events that are, you know, like welcoming of everyone, and queer people. And I've been to them and they're okay. And I've also been to events, that are queer only events, and they have a really different sort of like vibe and energy. And, I had like this idea, like what if we could take some of those events, particularly this one event that runs in New York called Mythical Events. And what if we could make it into like a weekend experience? Like what if we could have the entire campground and make it like queer only, do all the programming and just like have a queer event? Like, could we pull it off? And I was like, maybe I could do this. So I emailed the owner of the camp that's kind of like known for like allowing these type of events. And he was like, maybe. And I called the producer of one of my favorite events in New York, Andy, who runs Mythical Events. And I kind of presented the idea to him. And he's like, oh, my God, people are always asking me to do this. Let's give it a try. And, yeah, it was sort of born from there. So just like could we actually do this? And, yeah, here we are and we're doing it. And it's really happening this year. And it's exciting and it's scary, but I think it's going to be really beautiful.
So you're going about a few things, let's just say differently than other events. One is that you need to apply and be accepted to go. Tell me what that's about. What's that
so
about?
So that model is based off of the model that works really well for the parties in New York, the Mythical Events, which is actually is inspired from a policy that happens at other events. And the idea from that is you have to come with a buddy. And a buddy can be a lover. It could be a roommate. It could be a close friend. It could be a date. But the idea is that everyone comes there with someone that they know and trust. And that's because like when, you know, I'm using the royal we here, are engaging in kind of in kink or sex or kind of, you know, intense experiences, it's really important to feel safe and grounded. And also if you're going to play with other people, like to have someone there who's really got your back. So coming with a buddy ensures that someone's going to be there that has your back, and there's also someone like you can be accountable for each other as well. And that's really great in terms of safety and also in terms of behavior. What it also does is it allows us to sort of get a sense of who you are and make sure, you know, you'd be a really good fit for the party. I mean, like I said before, the party is for queers only. And on the application, you know, it's very, you know, we allow you to define that to whatever it means to you, because we were welcoming people in all sort of spectrums, you know, at all places in their journey. But we do want people to be aware of the type of environment they're entering into. And so we have like an affirmative consent policy and anti-racism policy. There's a lot of structures here that you might not find at other events. And that's all intentional. Like the idea behind this whole experience is to create an intentional space for a weekend.
Now, you're also doing something interesting, which is you're creating some separate, like, I'm just going to call them separatist, but not as judgmental, just as descriptive, separatist spaces, both, I think, for living, like cabins and tenting areas, but also, are there play spaces that are separate?
So the first part of the question, as far as the housing goes, we do have optional housing. We've got general housing, and then we've got housing for people of color if they want to stay there. We've got housing for trans and non-gender conforming people. We've also got sober housing. We have a quiet cabin, and then someone asked for a neurodiversity cabin. So we started that too. So we've got a couple different choices. And with all of the cabins, folks can tent outside. And that's to create like inner community building and to give you a place where you can feel safe to sort of like rest your head. And if you want to meet people who are like-minded. And of course, you can always choose general housing as well. As far as the play goes, we'll have two dungeon spaces. One is indoor and one is outdoor. And in the indoor dungeon space, we'll have blocked off hours for only playtime. And that was, there's like a group of us that are running this, and I'd say the vast majority of them are trans and non-gender conforming, you know, in that spectrum. And people were talking about bodies and taking off your clothes in front of cis people. And so the idea came up well, sure, we can create a space where there's only trans and non-gender conforming people if that's like an issue, you know? Mm-hmm. So the idea was like, if you bring something to us or an idea, like absolutely, like this is the place where we can create that space and that element. And people also talked about bathrooms and showers and those sorts of situations and just like being judged. And so the idea of having a space where, you know, you're not going to be judged on any of that or looked at in a way, was really attractive and, for lack of a better term, safe.
Yeah, I mean, this campground is obviously, I've done an event there, and so, you know, people can figure out where it is. It's one of the only places I've ever seen a naked trans pool party, for example. It really is a space where you can do what you want. What do you think is the hardest part about creating such intentional community space?
Ooh, we'll be here all night. There's the logistics of it, organizing, forming committees, coming up with policies. You know, folks that want to get into organizing and planning tend to want to get into organizing and planning, so they're super busy and they're doing a lot of things. So I'd say there's some sort of those sorts of things definitely come up. And then it's really important to me and important to a lot of people that this be a really diverse and integrated event. So having an event that's not like staffed entirely by white folks and cis folks and really making sure, like, for example, our medical team, it was kind of a few months in and we realized like most of the people on our medical team they actually happened to be all Jewish. But like, you know, like we want some people, you know, we want more than that represented on our medical team. So really having integration along all the lines has proved to be really challenging, I think, because a lot of people have been burnt, you know, by other events or other experiences. I was actually at Weekend Reunion last weekend and talking to a lot of folks about Amherst Revolt and other events and just like trying to, you know, like trying to make it a really like open and accepting event is just, I don't know. It's definitely something we're working on incredibly hard. But we're getting there and I think we're doing it. So.
And if you could throw out a ballpark figure, how many queers are going to be there, do you think?
I think we'll have about 200.
Which 200? Is great for a first time event. That's great.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm super excited about it. I can't wait. There's so many awesome workshops. Another thing that makes this event a little different is we have workshops not only in kink and BDSM, but also like in life skills and in anti-oppression. It's a little bit more political. We also have crafts. So there's all sorts of things to learn about as well, in case you don't want to just learn about like flogging and fisting all day, and you want to like make a pair of pasties, you can do that, or learn about composting with worms, you can do that. So there's all sorts of things going on. So I'm really excited about it.
Okay, before I let you go, is there anything else you definitely want people to know?
Oh, yes, thank you. So this Sunday, we are having a picnic meetup in Prospect Park, and you can meet all of the organizers, and it's free. Just come. We'll have balloons, and follow us on Twitter or on Facebook if you want more details. It starts at 4 after Folsom. And you can also find a buddy for the event if you don't have one, but it should be great. We a lot of people have RSVP'd. There'll be tons of great food and fun. So come out to Prospect Park this Sunday.
That's a fantastic opportunity to just kind of vibe it out and ask questions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being on the show. And all of you out there who are queers, why don't you get yourself to Amorous Revolt July 31st to August 2nd. You can follow them on Twitter at @amorous_revolt. And you can go to amorousrevolt.com to register. Listeners, use the coupon code Tristan for $50 off registration, which is obscene in the best sense of the word. Thanks a lot, Chelsea.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we are going to talk to the founder of CatalystCon, activist Dee Dennis. So stay with us.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Lots of people talk about publishing their work, but have no idea where to start. If you are one of these aspiring authors or know somebody who is, don't miss Publishing Today Radio with Athena Dean Holtz. Thought leaders, business owners, entrepreneurs, and in general, storytellers all want to get their messages in print, and that includes branding and marketing. Athena and her guests are here to answer your publishing questions and more. Tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Remember, we're live, and if you have questions for my guests or for me, call us at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. You can also post questions on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. It's been a busy night here. I don't know if you've noticed. And here is this is our third segment, but it's actually our fifth guest of the evening. Okay, Dee Dennis started her career as a sex blogger, writing about the end of her marriage and the beginning of the next chapter of her life. And during this, Dee discovered her passion for a healthy, fun, and shame-free sex life and set out to share this message with the world. Dee's commitment to taking the conversation about sexuality offline and into the real world sparked an idea, a conference empowering people to come together and exchange ideas to further the discussion of sexuality. Her hope was to inspire people and motivate them to carry the conversation forward. In 2012, Dee founded Catalyst Con, which she regards as a melting pot of sexuality, uniting sex educators, sexologists, sex workers, writers, activists, and anyone with a passion for creating change. And the next event is Catalyst Con West, September 10th to the 13th in Los Angeles. I'll be there. Sex Out Loud will be there. Welcome back to the show, Dee.
Thank you.
So there was a recent flurry of activity on Twitter when it was sort of like when the college kids get their acceptance letters.
Oh.
Right? Where all these people in my feed and then people who are friends of people in my feed had gotten clearly their letters saying, we want you to present at Catalyst. And so lots of people were announcing, you know, we got in and we're doing this great presentation and here's what it's on and here's what the panelists are. And So does that mean you've officially announced the whole lineup?
No.
Okay.
What we do, the way Catalyst works, is I hold that open call for speakers, sessions, and all the content gets submitted to me. And last weekend at my house, we had my team of, you know, Robin, Lauren, Savannah, I, Hernando, Chavez. And we just spend the entire weekend at my house. We don't leave. And we go through all the sessions and curate, you know, the content. But then we have to get it up on the website. So the announcement, all the sessions and speakers will come out on Monday. We'll be posted.
Okay. So it's a little tease right now.
Yes.
Because all those folks have to sort of get it together and commit and do all that.
Well, they did all that. It's us getting it all organized on the website. You know, We have 79 speakers, I think.
Actually, oh.
No, we have 80 counting you.
Is that the most you've had?
No, I've had one where it was like 90 speakers. I had a lot of panels. We have some repeat, like, speakers doing more than one session this time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not quite as many. But and then we have the 40 sessions to put up.
And in the 3 years that you've been doing it, because you do it on the East and West Coast, so you do two events a year, what do you think, what are the shifts that you've observed in this world, this sort of melting pot you've created of all these people coming into the sex positive world kind of from different angles and communities?
I don't know so much about shifts more than connections. Like I'll see all of a sudden a couple of months after a Catalyst, people who were at the conference together who are like in two different areas of sexuality come together and work on projects together. I also see each conference has a little bit of a theme and it's not intentional. It just happens to be what gets submitted. I don't know if it was East or last year's West, we had a lot of sessions on body work submitted. And up until then, I had never gotten one. This conference, we have a lot of BDSM and kink sessions, you know, not workshops, but actual sessions. Like we have one is kink as a sexual orientation. And that's new for us. You know, we've always had one here or there, but this one has, you know, several.
And so these things kind of organically happen, like present themselves, like you said.
Yes. Yes. I mean, we always have sessions on sex work. We usually always have something on gender and on relationships, but there's always, you know, a little bit underlying where we get more of one topic than the other.
And is there anything you're particularly excited about or something that's brand new for Catalyst Con that you're covering that you can't wait for?
You mean in the sessions or the
conference? In the sessions.
There's a lot, actually. Like I said, these BDSM sessions and speakers I'm really excited about. But there's also, I'm bringing a couple of sessions that were in East to West. Like there's one that was really popular, why can't I go to a sex party? Ethical dilemmas for professionals, which a lot of us who work in, you know, the field of sexuality face that issue. And I know before I got this session, you know, for East, I had to address that issue with my staff even, you know, because it is, you know, where's the boundary? At an event. And so I'm excited about that one. There's also, you know, the lawsuit that was filed in California on prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
We have the lawyers and Maxine Dugan doing a panel about that, which, you know, I like having that because I think we all know about it, but we don't know exactly what, you know, it all entails, what the details are. And one of the other ones I'm excited about is Aging Kinky, which what 203 years of combined kingdom looks like. And it's several people, which I'm sure you know them all, who are doing a panel about, you know, they've been in the kink community for 25, 30 years.
Wow.
You know me.
I just love that.
On history.
Yes. No, I love that. No, and I also appreciate the ones that are so specific, like the sex work. Like when you have, you know, panels about specific legislation, because the truth is you can't necessarily know everything, but you want to be up on these important fights that many of us all want to support. And so it's like a great primer. I always think there's these great sessions where I can get in a little bit of time a primer on what this thing is about. And that's really helpful. And then, you know, do more research, talk to more people, but get the sense of what it's all about and ask questions and stuff like that.
There's another session we're new with that I was excited about is Generations of Poly. And it's two families. One's a mother, son, and one's a father, daughter. And, you know, the children who are no longer children, but grew up in a poly family environment. And I'm really excited about sharing those views. Like, we've had several sessions on poly, and it's usually the people, you know, in the relationships, but now going into the family part, which I think is important for education for everyone to understand on poly relationships.
Well, and I think it speaks to the future, which is that there are more and more poly people who are out and proud. So there's more and more kids who are being raised with poly families. And so there's this idea that there could be a second generation polyamorous person is a reality, right?
Yes. And so I'm really excited when I got messaged, you know, Monique Darling actually messaged me and said, hey, would you be interested in this? And I'm like, I'd love to have that because it's such a new viewpoint that we haven't covered.
Yeah. Yeah. And what are some of the fun events happening? You always have these fun events at night, which end up being, I mean, I feel exhausted at the end of the day. And then somehow,
you and me both.
And then somehow I wander into, like, you know, a body storytelling or some other one of your like fun game shows. And it's, I have the time of my life.
Well, we've started something new. We started at East was on Thursday evening. A lot of people arrive Thursday night because you have a boot camp on both Thursday and Friday. So people come in early for that. They come in early for Rachel's writing workshop also. And, you know, they're just kind of hanging at the hotel and don't know anyone. So we started doing queeryoke. And Lilith Gray is the hostess. And
I believe Andy Duran is the reigning champion. Is he not?
Yes, Andy is. But I'm very, very much looking forward to Jackie Strano and Jackie's wife, Char, doing a duet.
You know about this already?
Well, no, I'm making them do it. Oh. Actually, it was their idea to have, you know, karaoke. So I'm like, okay, let me try it. And it was a big hit. People loved it. It was a lot of fun. We had prizes. And it was just something that sort of broke the ice,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. at the night before. And we do a networking event. We do, you know, we have a special meetup, private meetup for sex workers. We have a meetup for new people who are attending the first time so they can get some information. And Saturday night, we have our entertainment. Which I haven't confirmed. We're still working on. Well, I have some of it confirmed, but, you know, we always do something for a couple hours on Saturday night just for fun because it is like sometimes it can get really intense during the day and you just need to kick back and relax.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's take a break. This is your last chance to call and talk to Dee Dennis about CatalystCon. Maybe you want to get the scoop on Saturday night. Maybe we can get it out of her. I don't know. Maybe you have a question about going to the event for the first time. 866-472-5788. Stay with us. More with Dee Dennis and CatalystCon when we get back.
stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
How do you achieve the utmost success in your life, career, faith, relationships, and more? It's all here in The Business of Living with host Scott Ventrella. Scott has experience as an executive coach, sought-after speaker, and lecturer. He and his guests will offer practical solutions and strategies to help you move to the next level of success, no matter where you are in your life and career. The Business of Living airs live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I'm talking with Dee Dennis, who is the founder and producer of Catalyst Con. You know, I was being interviewed by a young journalist last week, and she let it slip that this was like her third interview of her entire career, which, by the way, you should never do that. You should just pretend as if. And after the interview was over, because we were on Skype, she said, "So can I ask you another question? I kind of want my career to be like yours. What do I do?" And I said, "Have you heard of an event called Catalyst Con?" And she was like, "No." So I pointed her directly to Catalyst Con because I do think it's a really good place to answer that question and to actually get answers from lots and lots and lots of different people. For people who are just starting out or who are at the beginning of their sex career, to hear from so many different voices, so many different points of view, and to see people who've been doing this for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, I think that part of the conference is invaluable.
I agree. And the other thing about that is I think everybody who speaks or who attends Catalyst is very much accessible. You know, like you'll do the opening keynote and we have four different speakers who are, I consider, all catalysts in their field. And they're all open, including you, for someone to walk up and say, "Hey, I have a question about this or that," or, you know, even after a session. And it's something I absolutely love about the conference is how accessible everybody is.
Yeah, everyone, you can talk to me whenever you want, unless I'm in the bathroom or I'm eating. That's all. Because Dee also provides free food on the Friday night, which is like also something for me who goes to conferences and you have like this tiny window to get food and you're in a new city and you don't know where to get food. And it's like all of a sudden there is food and you're like, I can eat it. Great. So
and we do gluten-free and vegan options.
Yes. So just let me eat that little bite of dinner and then I'll talk to you. Okay. Because the gluten-free pasta really is good. Okay. So, and have you, I know you haven't announced it yet, but do you have even a tease for who's going to be on the opening plenary?
I actually know who will be on it. I have to get them all to agree. You know, I haven't contacted. Like,
okay.
You know, our thing right now is just to get the sessions and speakers up and all that. And then I'll start working on the opening keynote. But when we sit down and do the, you know, the session picking, we also throw out names for keynotes. You know, who do you think? And, you know, I try to make it very diverse, not only in the field, but in gender, in color, you know. So this one, I'm pretty sure I know who's going to be on it.
But you're not going to tell us.
No, not yet.
No, but it really does. The opening night really does kind
of. You're going to be on it. I can announce that.
Okay, we can announce that I'll be moderating. So any of you who missed me for the past couple times when I wasn't moderating, I heard people did a fine job, but I will be cracking the moderator whip again. So if you enjoy that, you should definitely come to the opening plenary. I think it does set the tone, though. And what I love about it is that people... people get, you know, there's this time for discussion, which is not typical in a keynote, right? It's like the sort of experts talk to you and then it's done. But people get up and talk and you get a sense of who's in the room, what they're thinking about. I love it for that. I feel like it's like a tiny little meet and greet where it's you can see a preview of kind of what's to come for the weekend.
Yeah, I agree. I very much think it sets the tone. And I've always said that I wanted to like energize that room to then go, you know, to sessions to learn. I also say at my opening speech that, you know, pick a session you wouldn't think to go to, you know, don't just stay in your field or in your bubble, try something and learn something different. And, you know, the feedback I've gotten of those who do it is really fantastic.
And the other question I was going to ask you is, about how many submissions do you get? So if you've put together something like how many panels, how many speakers?
40. We have 40 sessions.
And so how many, what's the percent, you know, how many do you get submissions?
We get 130 plus is the average. And that's the thing if somebody said, what do you dislike most about the conference? That's it. It's so hard. I hate to say no to people and I hate to turn down content that's really good, but I just can't fit it. So like for every submission, you know, for everyone I accept, I turn down two.
And yeah. Oh, wow. So you have a greater chance of being turned down than you do being accepted.
Yeah, but
people.
I will say I've had speakers. I had one at Catalyst East this year, Brooke Norton, who had been turned down. I had turned her down three times and I emailed her. I said, please, please, please do not stop submitting. You know, it's not, it's the way the content falls also, like, you know, depending on subject and if I can do that subject, if I have too many. And she submitted for East and spoke at East. So I do have people who sometimes they don't get picked till the third time.
But people should persevere and hang in there.
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, for me personally, if I haven't picked you the first two times, I'm going to go out of my way to try and pick you the third, you know, to try and fit that in, if at all possible. But it's one of my hardest parts. And I've had people stop speaking to me for it.
Well, that is the plight of the event organizer. Yeah, and I mean, know it well.
You know, and I understand some people take it just as a, you know, a very much a personal rejection. And, you know, it's a hard part, but.
Well, maybe one of these days you're going to expand and have a full day on Friday.
I've thought about it. Like I was saying that this past weekend, I'm like, can we find a way to fit more sessions? Because even when we, you know, whittle it down, there's always like 10 or 12 sessions that we can only pick three, you know? And I'm like, we really need to figure out a way to add more content, but it's just, I don't know how.
Well, maybe you should like poll everyone, do a little survey and see if people would take time off and do a full day on Friday.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've thought of.
Yeah.
But I'm not quite there yet. Although I'm very thrilled of the new location we have this year.
Okay, so tell me about that.
It's the Burbank Marriott Convention Center. So we are in our own building, which you're familiar with it because we were both at AMNI together there. So we're attached to the hotel, but we're not right in the hotel meeting space. And there's a lot more, you know, just us, privacy. There's a lot more space, and we're changing Sex Out Loud and the Deeper Truth, how we do it this year. We're not doing it in a room. We're going to do it right out there in the open area. Which
I'm going to be right there with the people.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
And actually, we're also having Ask the Doc on Friday afternoon, Sonny Rogers. It's a Doc Johnson radio show on Playboy. They're going to record Friday afternoon live.
That's fantastic.
For their show. Yeah, I'm kind of excited about that. You know, just expanding different things, trying new things. And I love the hotel because it has those great couches and fire pits for evening. That's one of the things when I look at a venue. I think a lot of people just like to, you know, get together, chat over drinks or whatever. And this hotel has that.
I mean, that's the thing. There is a tremendous amount of networking and socializing that goes on. There's just so many people to meet and so many people to talk to. So even outside of all the amazing programming you do, that, in it, you know, that's worth the price of admission just to be in a room full of all these people.
Yes, it's pretty amazing.
Okay, we got to go. Do you believe it? I don't.
Time flies.
Thanks, Dee.
Thank you.
Remember, everyone, CatalystCon West is September 10th. Well, that's the pre-cons. September 11th to the 13th at the Los Angeles Marriott Burbank Hotel. Go to catalyst.com. Listeners can use coupon code TRISTAN for $10 off your registration. You can also follow the event and late breaking news on Twitter at CatalystCon. That's when you find out when she's going to announce like the keynote speakers and all that stuff. You can also find me on Twitter at Tristan Taramino. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be E. Patrick Johnson, the author of Sweet Tea, Black Gay Men of the South, and Oral History. Just one of the most incredible books that I've read this year, and it should be required reading for everyone. So it's going to be a great show. Until then, hit me up on facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio, and talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.